Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins.
Here we go!
Afternoons on the Score.
John Greenberg.
You know what I was thinking about would be? One of my good friends, Dan Bulla, works for Adam Sandler. Wouldn't Adam Sandler do a good Grobber?
Yes, he would.
Once upon a time, in a land far, far away, there lived a dreamer whose only wish was to spread joy among his fellow men. But there was one problem.
Okay, cool.
He was different.
Do not congratulate the opponent during a game.
No,
That's bull.
He was offensive. He was obnoxious.
Since you're going to the toilet paper capital of the world.
He was disgusting.
I absolutely never Seika. I guess the closest was Marilyn Chambers when she was in studio over at LS.
You want me to go on?
You know what? KMA.
They tried to shut him up.
Les, what does it have to do with it?
It has everything to do with it. They've had garbage quarterbacks.
Switch him off.
What if Penis and his wife were having trouble conceiving?
Did God he is my say witness penis? Too,
and tune him out.
Well, she was just 91, and she weighed about a ton, and the way she looked was way beyond repair.
Don't sing along with the music.
The true story of a man with big dreams.
It's something, it's a newer type of situation.
And a very small.
Say what?
That's what you are. You are the Antichrist.
Talk to the hand, because the rest of me can't hear you.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
The McNeil and Parkins Show. Afternoons 1 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Private Parts 2. Starring Les Grobstein.
I love it. Private parts all over it. Pig vomits. The Australian power quintet that is AC/DC or was. And Les Grobstein. That's everything. That's the three basic food groups in an open.
Good night, Chicago.
Good night, everybody.
That's all you can need. Mark Grody joins us in studio in 15 minutes. This hour on The Score brought to you by Continental Motors. Searching for a used car? Search ContinentalMotors.com for the Continental Difference. The game will come down to Matt Nagy against Mike Zimmer, Kirk Cousins and Mitch Trubisky, the Bears pass rush against the Vikings O-line, the Vikings pass rush against the Bears O-line. It'll come down to the players on the field.
Yes.
However, two of the next four games the Bears play are going to be in front of the biggest audiences you can have in the NFL at Soldier Field. I'm not worried about national conversation or relevance because we're watching the games. We know what the team is, and that takes care of itself when you win. But, Mac, I would love it, and I know it's a little meatball-y, but I would love it if the conversation during Bears-Rams was about, oh, the Rams are going to have a hard time going into Soldier Field because those fans were so loud that they impacted and affected the Minnesota Vikings. You've got a bona fide, legitimate, top-flight pass rush here.
Yeah.
And that's where noise can really actually have a tangible impact on the field. And in my whole life... In my whole life, I've never really heard that be the thing said about Bears fans in Soldier Field.
Well, there's a reason for that.
I know.
There are only a few stadia in the league where you hear that. Seattle is one of them. The Vikings used to have one when they played in the Hump Bubble. And you hear it from time to time about Lambeau. You hear it about where the Broncos play. Not
Arrowhead.
So much this place. Arrowhead is another one. This is what happens when your team president decides to build a 61,000-seat arena and just build out instead of doing a new building and building up. That's the result of it. Bears fans are going to be damn loud Sunday night. There's not a doubt in my mind that place will be jumping.
I hope so. Just bring it. Just
it hasn't met your level of decibel satisfaction yet?
No.
Not heard that to be a thing.
I'll be honest.
I heard Nagy talking about it today. I don't know if he talked about it today, but he talked about it yesterday, how he's excited about it because he does believe that is a difference maker when his defense is on the field.
We've seen it. Like, we've seen that around the league. Like, that's a place where fans can make a real impact. It's like, false starts, not getting the play in, miscommunication, you know, be loud when the defense is on the field, be dead silent when the offense is on the field. And you see,
it's unfortunate that sometimes that's got to be a quarterback saying, "Shh, come on,
it's a huge,
we have the ball."
It's a huge, like, man. Remember when Peyton Manning was doing his thing, and like it would be silent in that dome when they were on the field,
right?
But then when Freeney and Mathis and those guys were coming off the edge, they'd make it loud because they were trained with it, and it was the same thing when Peyton was in Denver. Like, they Von Miller on defense, cheer. Peyton Manning on offense, silence,
right?
And I know that the texter says we're not loud because we're not used to the Bears being good. All right.
I'm wondering if that's part of it, because you've been to a lot of games in the last 10 years, right?
Yeah, of course. That's what I'm saying. Like, in my lifetime, now, I didn't go to any of the playoff games in the Super Bowl run. I did not go to any of those big games, but obviously watched all of them, but I was not in attendance at
that. I was not either, but watching on the 60-inch screen, it sure seemed like Soldier Field was jumping when Adewale Ogunleye was sitting on Drew Brees' head, and Sean Payton was forgetting about Reggie Bush being on his roster. That place, I've seen Soldier Field jumping and shaking, and it requires a really, really good team, and a really good defense helps. I think
what I'm saying, though. This is
they
it.
They got it. Well, they got it. It'll be loud.
All right, I hope so.
Shep, you got an assignment. Find a decibel detective. I almost said something that they don't let me say on the air that means detective. Find a decibel detective. And let's get him commissioned to get to the ballpark Sunday night and measure the level of loudness.
Was it Ron Pitts back in the day?
Yes.
Is that who it was?
At the Metrodome when Pat Summerall and John Madden were on the call.
How loud is it?
Yeah, that was the Vikings.
Very loud.
That was their game. That was their NFC Championship game against Atlanta after the 98 season.
Oh, since we're going over such fond Vikings memories. One of my favorites.
Pat says, boy, this place is jumping. Let's go down to Ron Pitts. Ron, how loud is it? Pat and John, it's extremely loud. Back to you. That's basically the report. He didn't even have the little decibel meter. He didn't even have his little technology doohickey.
I just want, and I'm admitting on the front end, it's meatball-y. Just, I would love for it to be so noticeable that it gets on the broadcast and it's discernible. Like, you say all stadium get loud when their team's on defense. Now, there are differences. If this is a huge game, this is that statement
those
game.
Those who are going are aware of that.
I'm not.
They'll feel it. If they're not aware of it, feel it by the goofballs and we're sitting around them.
I love those guys.
Yeah.
I love it.
Are you going to be the guy like from I Love You Man in the LA Galaxy jersey? Come on, everybody. Here we go, Galaxy. Here we go.
Go, Galaxy. Let's go.
Yeah.
Slow clap.
You could go. I mean, what are you going to do your part? You're not going this weekend.
No. It's too cold.
Oh, God.
Don't be ridiculous.
Do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah,
I'm Danny Parkins. I'll be warm and at home.
Yeah,
but
or
show up and yell.
Or in the press box. I haven't decided yet.
You're talking about you didn't decide if you're going to go to this game or the Rams game, and you're declining this one because it's too cold. Do you think it's going to magically get warmer for the Rams game?
Listen, whichever game I go to, I'll be in the press box. Far too cold at this time of year. But, and, you know, got to work for the show, Tanny. Got to work the locker room. Can't be in the crowd and having beers and that whole sort of thing. That's my excuse.
This is awesome! This is awesome!
I know everyone knows it's a huge game, but there's a real possibility of an X factor.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm saying. And this defense, man, they can tee off on Kirk Cousins and make his life miserable.
Yeah, and I think the fans absolutely will be a factor to the best of their abilities on Sunday night.
And they got to give you a reason to cheer, right? Like they got to hit the quarterback and they got to be in it and get a lead early and all that sort of thing.
That helps. Shep took the Vikings and who do you love?
I know.
Getting three. I didn't do it, but I'm not going to play the game because I actually have done the opposite of recent years this year. Rather, when the Bears are really off the chart bad, I have no problem betting against them. In fact, it's been profitable for several years.
Oh, yeah, I have no problem betting against my team.
The only team I've never bet against is the Blackhawks, but I don't bet a lot of hockey anyway. But if I were betting this week, if you put a gun in my head and say you got to make a play, I'd take the Vikings too. I would.
I'd take the Bears. They're at home, and the game is bigger for them. And I trust that their offense is going to be able to execute with where Mitch is at in the offense. The fact that they ran hurry up last week, I know the Lions were a bad secondary without their best secondary player in Darius Slade Jr., but it wasn't necessarily the opponent. It was the fact that Mitch had enough handle on that thing to run a hurry-up offense. That tells me that he's at a level of understanding and comfort with the system that he's ready to implement it, not regardless of opponent or situation, but this is a big one. And the measuring stick game for him, I love the symmetry of it. Made his debut right against the Vikings in a night game.
Yep.
Threw the pick at the end. He's coming off Offensive Player of the Week. Like, you get ready for Al and Chris to show you Mahomes, to show you Watson, mm-hmm. and to show you Mitch and how he was drafted in front of them. They'll talk about the Bears and return to relevancy and all that, but like, this is a Mitch Trubisky game
yeah.
in terms of national attention, and I think he's going to rise to the occasion.
Okay, which pizza joint gets the most airtime Sunday night?
Man.
You know that's coming.
Yeah.
The obligatory shot of the skyline, that's coming. We got the fish market last night in Seattle. That's you're doing a game in Seattle, you got to go to the Pike Place Market, and I'm glad they did. It was a good reminder to me to get busy and start working on my Christmas shopping, because the food that you can get from there, and they'll deliver it to your door, is absolutely spectacular.
I'm not a salmon guy, but they say the salmon's real good here.
Oh, the salmon is fantastic, and they throw the salmon at you. That would have been such a great college job for you or for me mm-hmm. if we grew up in Seattle. Those guys have so much fun at the Pike Place Market, just burning numbers behind the building.
Yeah, and then you're throwing fish.
Having fun with the customers. Yeah, those guys are always in a great mood. That is an electric atmosphere, but we'll get the deep dish pizza shots.
Of course.
You're going to have night. Bears Head guy will be there. Blues Brothers will be there. Ditka Sweater guy will be there.
Yep.
It's going to be quite an event.
It sure will be a poppin', yeah.
You get the Bruise Brothers graphic after Khalil Mack has a sack.
We get the bean. I mean, Millennium Park, it's right down the road.
The bean.
We got to get the obligatory bean
and
shot.
I used to think Buckingham Fountain was overrated. I apologize to the family of Clarence Buckingham. I never said that.
They accept.
The bean is just the bean. Can you tell me where the bean is?
I don't yeah. really get art or appreciate art very much, but like,
don't you think the bean is hideous?
I just don't.
You don't appreciate it.
I don't appreciate
the Picasso either.
Get it? Why it's so impressive?
I just don't.
Like, you can see the skyline in a picture and a reflection, but oftentimes the people that are taking those pictures on their cell phone just get a reflection of the person taking the picture.
That's why it's so popular. Especially in today's society. People just, they love art that they can look at themselves.
The bean!
You're taking a picture of yourself. You're not taking a picture of the skyline. That doesn't make any sense.
Someone texted just a few minutes back and said it's the dumbest sports thought he's ever heard when I blame Ted Phillips for Soldier Field. Who else would you blame? He was the president. Everything happened under his watch. The Soldier Field renovation was Ted Phillips's first big move as boss of the Bears.
Right. Well, they wanted to upgrade the stadium but protect the landmark status, and so there were limitations on what they could do, and it couldn't be torn down.
Didn't have to do it at its current location. They could have moved somewhere else. There were options. They chose to keep it there and chose to make it look like a spaceship landed inside an old coliseum. That's what it looks like, and it seats fewer people than any stadium in the league. I think 61.5 or 61.8, something like that.
Yeah.
And no retractable roof for winter events or a Final Four Chicago can't have, because you could have it there if it had a roof, but it doesn't. So, yes, I will continue to blame Ted Phillips for that.
I got no problem with that.
It's all under his purview.
Just
Are you using purview correctly there?
Yeah, ish. Yeah, that's a good use of purview.
Okay. Yeah. It's not a word I use too often.
How did it feel?
Not bad.
Not bad?
Not bad.
You work it in.
Yeah, I work it in.
You stuck the landing.
You want to knock out a Viking list or so? We got a couple minutes? A
couple minutes before Mark Grody's going to come
okay.
in.
Okay,
yeah.
Pick a category. Vikings by the numbers, franchise history. Mentioned earlier in the show, and it's worth a note again, the Chicago Bears, born in 1920, have won 17 playoff games in franchise history. The Minnesota Vikings, born in 1961, have won 20 playoff games. Vikings have appeared in 14 more playoff games than have the Bears. Pick a category. Jeez, I got everything you could possibly want here. I got coaches. I got receivers. I've got running backs. Wow. I've got guys who had their jersey number retired by the Vikes.
I mean, I got top two for receiver and running back pretty easy.
Off the air. Yeah, you did. Okay, who's
well, receiving was Carter, Moss, and then it took me a minute, and I pulled Jake Reed.
Yeah, okay. You didn't give me which Carter.
Chris Carter.
Chris Carter is one. Moss is two. Jake Reed is four. Who's three?
No idea.
Anthony Carter. Two Carters. Wow. Number five? You never heard of this guy.
Okay.
Sammy White, yes.
And then running backs, one and two, I assume. I
know. Kyle Rudolph and Adam Thielen are in their top ten. So this list is figuring for a little shakeup in another year or two.
Rushing, AP one, and
yes.
Then I assume Robert Smith is on the
Robert
list.
Robert Smith is number two. Very well done.
Okay, and then I would draw a blank.
Yeah, you wouldn't have seen any of these guys.
Okay.
Chuck Foreman, good old number 44. Bill Brown, football face, Illini alum who passed away about a year or two ago. And Ted Brown. Wow, two Browns, wow. They have guys with the same surname in two different categories. Who knew that?
Amazing.
Don't tell me they have a pair of Tinglehoffs. Not code for anything, is it?
So many Tarkentons. Yeah. So passing, Fran Tarkenton.
Fran Tarkenton is number one, yeah.
Dante Culpepper?
Dante is third, yes. Very nice.
Randall Cunningham?
Cunningham wasn't there long enough to get an... He's not even top 10, which surprised me. I thought he would have more yards than Teddy Bridgewater.
Oh, wow.
But he doesn't. He was only there a couple years.
Brad Johnson?
That was my next
Brad
guess.
Brad Johnson is fifth.
Warren Moon?
No, Warren Moon is sixth, just on the outside looking in. Tommy Kramer is second. Wade Wilson, whose nickname was Whiskey, is fourth. And then we mentioned Brad Johnson is fifth.
And Wade Wilson is fourth on a franchise's all-time. I think I only remember him as being a perennial backup.
Yeah. Some, you know, right.
Wasn't he Aikman's backup for forever on the Cowboys in the 90s? I want to say he was a Cowboys.
Garrett, wasn't it?
Jason Garrett was. Danny White initially, I think, still was kicking around when Troy got to the Cowboys. But it sometimes makes you feel good because we look at the Bears franchise standards that need to fall. They're on offense. They have the longest standing record for career receiving yards, Johnny Morris, who hasn't played in 40, 50 years or something. There are other franchises that have some upgrades necessary also. And the Vikings, not necessarily the number one guy, but some of the guys who appear in the top five are like, wow, really? Yet they have more wins in franchise history than the Bears do in the postseason. I didn't know that until this morning.
No.
I love the internet. I think it's here to stay.
It'll work.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know we should be an early investor. Mark Grody is here on a Friday for his final Bears report of the week. And he's got Bears and Vikings thoughts. He'll be on the sideline in the cold reporting. He can be our guy to report on decibels. That's perfect.
Yeah, we'll give him the doohickey.
Whatever. We'll bring Mark Grody in next on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Here's the man that you fear most in football staring you right in the face.
Mark Grody.
I call him a maniac. Stone maniac.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
You had to overcome the mystique. It was almost like an odor. He exuded a kind of a presence.
Sideline reporter for Bears Radio, WBBM.
His whole damn life was football. Wasn't driving a pretty car. Wasn't going to the local bar and pounding your chest, I'm the greatest. It was the opposite.
Mark Grody.
He was Moby Dick in a goldfish bowl.
Mark Grody with McNeil and Parkins on 670 The Score.
And our Bears Report with Mark Grody brought to you by the Timeshare Exit Team. If you can't sell your timeshare, the resort won't take it back. Call Timeshare Exit Team. They'll get you out legally and forever. Call 844-915-EXIT. That's 844-915-EXIT. Or visit TimeshareExitTeam.com. Bottom of the hour on The Score brought to you by the Wolves. The Chicago Wolves home Saturday night against Iowa, Sunday afternoon against Manitoba. Saturday's koozie night, courtesy of Sport Clips. Sunday, kids receive an admission pass to Legoland Discover Center. Visit ChicagoWolves.com. Hello, Mark Grody.
What's going on, guys?
There we are. We are alive and well here on a Friday.
Thanks for schlepping back.
Yeah, of course. I am. This is one of those weeks at Hallis Hall where I'm happy that the weekend is finally here because the
the build-up to this is fun and all that, but it gets to a point where I think that we've all had enough.
Was the choppers that point for you? I enjoyed the choppers.
The choppers, yeah. No, the choppers were cool. That added a new little twist.
Yes, stretched the way, yes.
Absolutely. That's like another legitimate story. We get to talk about the kicker. Gathered around the kicker's locker room, and then we had a helicopter situation. Today, usually at Hallis Hall, what is turned into is our one chance during the week to gather around the locker of Khalil Mack, and let's listen to that. My one piece of tape for today, guys.
How do you get after a guy like Kirk Cousins, who is so good even under pressure?
Yeah, that's the challenge. That's the challenge we're looking forward to, man. Understanding that they brought in a guy that is very good. You know what I'm saying, on that side of the ball, and so it's gonna be a very, very good test for us as a defense to manipulate him and get to him very quick.
Danny was saying on a big night, like Sunday night, defense especially gets really pumped up from a big crowd, and he said he thinks because Bears fans are more defensive minded fans. Do you notice that at all?
Yeah, I definitely notice it. I'm glad he said it and I didn't have to say it. But at the same time, understanding that the fans are going to be very excited to see us get after these guys. And we're looking forward to the challenge.
Khalil, the right tackle from the Vikings, is a guy apparently who likes to trash talk. Do you have your own take on trash talking on the field?
I like to let my talking play talk for me. I let my play talk for me. I'm sorry. That's the type of guy I am. You know what I'm saying? Now, if you want to talk, we'll talk a little bit, but I'll show you a little something more than I can tell you.
Is this a game that you feel is going to make you guys legit in division? Or are they going to say the Bears are the team to beat? I mean, is that big of a game?
That's not the mindset. The mindset is to win this game, you know what I'm saying, and let everything else take care of itself after the fact, you know what I'm saying? You could talk about it all day. I hate talking, if y'all can't tell already. But, we just want to go out and win, man. That's the only thing on my mind, for sure.
Don't get too high, don't get too low.
These are the days where everything goes. Any day is one day road.
Hey, get back here. Get out back here. Don't walk away from your microphone, McNeil.
Wow, a 90s reference. Is that why you guys are so shocked at that? Yeah, he knows 90s music, too.
He's a young dinosaur.
So Khalil Mack can have, not that he would need to have a weak offensive line, but he has a chance to have a really big day against a kind of wobbly offensive line from Minnesota. They do get Riley Reiff, the left tackle, back.
Yeah, a Lions cast off.
Exactly. Guy that was drafted by the Lions. But, I think that Mack is clearly one of the keys to the game. You know, what was mentioned today about Mack is, and I don't think this is a surprise to anybody, he's still getting some treatment for his ankle. I mean, that's not like shocking or anything crazy, but he was a full participant in practice all week long. And then the other strange part or crazy part is, here's a guy, and Vic Fangio made a point of saying this for the last 2 weeks, this is still a guy that is learning the defense for the Bears, which sounds absolutely preposterous and ridiculous because it seemed like he could probably teach it himself and do it his way. But there's certain things that he will learn and be better at and even ascend to a higher level. So that is Khalil Mack, your superstar.
I kind of liked his trash talk answer. I kind of liked it.
He doesn't have much to say.
No. But he lets his action do the talking.
See, and I thought that was a perfect cut because of what I said coming in. It's like it gets exhausting talking about it all week. And I think he's one of those, like, I've been trying to figure out Khalil Mack. Like, is he standoffish from the media? Is he one of these guys that doesn't like the media? And I think we got our answer today that I think he's fine with the media. I just think he really
hates talking
about the game, that he wants to play and show it. And he knows that most of what they say is maybe cliche anyway, and none of it really matters. So, yeah.
I wonder if he would be willing.
You only exist because of me. Yeah.
Do you get any sense he would be willing to talk about something else and try to offer an interesting thought? I love the way he plays. He's going to be a star. He's going to own this town whether he opens up or not. But wouldn't it be nice if the Bears' best player showed some signs of personality as well?
Of course, everybody would like that. I don't, honestly, Mac, I don't know that we've figured that out yet. So shame on us, the reporters. I don't know that we know exactly
movie favorites.
Well, he mentioned you mentioned Nirvana last week.
Okay, that's a start.
He brought out some of that. What was he feeding his face with, too, on the sidelines? He was
Rice Krispie treats.
Yeah, it was a Rice Krispie treat. So we know he likes Rice Krispie treats, and he likes Nirvana. So what more would you like to know, Mac? I mean, there you go. I just answered all your questions.
Anything else?
Yeah.
So we were talking about how loud Soldier Field will get. I want to know, do you have a decibel reading device, maybe on your cell phone? Because that's a valuable sideline reporter trick, Mark Grody. Let's go down to Mark Grody. How loud is it on the field?
Even if I don't have one, I'm going to say I have one because, that would be really good.
Talk to Dave Miska. He'd be your guy.
Oh, yeah, Grody. I'll set you up with something like that right away. I'll bring it down here. You know, these guys have no idea what they're doing.
When I saw the police in 88, I took it down there.
Every breath you take, all that. I got a B-side of that. It's way better than that stuff. What do you need, Pat?
Settle down, Miska.
Such an inside radio impression.
Oh, yeah, it is. That's most of what I do.
That's okay.
Two or three people are really enjoying that impersonation.
Do you have a gut? Have a gut feeling?
I do. The gut feeling is that the Bears will win, and I think that this is going to be one of those cases where, stay with me here now, the Bears actually desperately want this game more and need this game more. Like, the Vikings are kind of a proven team in terms of what they did last year and their legitimate talent that exists. Like, they don't have a whole lot of, like, general prove it left in them. Like, yeah, there
that's
you
go. A good salute.
General
prove it at 5:37.
This is why I come in the studio.
I love it.
That wouldn't work on the telephone.
Man, that puts general fatigue to shame.
No, I think that they're going to have, no matter what, how they've tried to downplay everything this week at Hallis Hall.
General proof.
You like that? I'm getting an aftershock laugh.
Yeah. He's punched drunk. He's been going for 24 hours and 36 minutes this week.
They don't have a general prove it.
Yeah, they don't.
Oh, man.
They don't have that. The Bears do. Like, the Bears, no matter what they said this week, this game means everything to them.
It's bigger for the Bears than it is the Vikings.
Yeah. I mean, they get sick of hearing how they haven't beaten anybody this year, and Trubisky still hasn't proven himself, and this is the game that the Bears
Hang on. The Bears have been getting a ton of national exposure this morning. Good Morning Football. I watch it every day on NFL Network. It was probably 35% Bears today. It included a live interview with the U tight end, Trey Burton.
Ooh.
Mike Tirico was in studio singing the praises of Prince Amukamara. They have a promo for their weekend coverage. It doesn't start with slow motion of Pat Mahomes. It starts with Mitch Trubisky and head coach Matt Nagy locking arms at the anthem, shot from the ground up at Soldier Field. That's how your promo for Week 11 coverage starts.
So that adds to it.
It made the hairs on the back of my neck stand up.
Oh, yeah. I think, and now they have to live up to all that hype because they have done nothing yet in terms of living up to that and beating a real team in a real primetime spot. They beat Seattle, obviously, earlier this year, but that wasn't a winning team. So this is the one. This is the one where they have to justify this game being flexed and the game against L.A. as well. So yeah, I think that exists.
How I put it is they've arrived in terms of their being talked about, but that can go away really quickly.
Absolutely.
Like, this next four-game stretch is, are the Bears here to stay? Are they for real? Or are they just better than they've been?
Well, and I think that probably most people from out of town are probably very skeptical about the Bears and whether or not they are real. Like, that's the position I would be in. Like, if I was not in Chicago and not seeing what they're doing every day and knowing what the talent is, I'd be like, ugh, this team was in the last place the last 4 years. You know, Trubisky's had some bad games. And so now all of a sudden they're the runaway division winner and a playoff team?
Yeah, the impression that you make is from the national games. And last year, you know, Deshaun Watson was awesome. Then he got hurt. His first impression was positive. Pat Mahomes doesn't play. Trubisky comes in, and they finish in last place, and he has 7 touchdowns and 7 picks. And then this year, in the first 2 national games of the year, they're carried by their defense. One they win, one they lose. So for Mitch, he's never balled out on a national stage.
Oh, yeah, and I think that a game like this, like for Mitch, this could be a tough game for him because they have a really good secondary led by Harrison Smith.
You okay over they there?
Fine. Are you still laughing
at it? I'm still saluting General Proven.
Oh, my God.
I am here for you. What has been going on the last few hours?
Who knows?
I've been rushing all over the place.
Not much.
Xavier Rhodes, who had a little bit of a foot situation, but he'll be in there. We know what their defensive line has done, and Danielle Hunter, what a revelation he is.
That's right,
little number 99. Linville. He's kept my fantasy team alive of late.
Congratulations, giggles. Linville Joseph. So there's a lot of guys that are going to make Trubisky's life very difficult, I believe, on Sunday night. So it's going to be huge for the Bears offensive line to have a big game.
You think the Bears are going to win also?
I do.
Shep and I both like the Vikings getting the three. It's a tough one. I guess if forced to pick, I'd pick the Vikings to win the game.
Okay.
If forced to do so. But I'm not going to do that.
Do we think Cody Parkey misses a kick?
Yes, wow. I would bet on that.
I think that he has a turnaround game. I think that he may even win the game.
Makes three out of four extra points as a turnaround
right,
game.
Right. Progress.
It is.
Yeah, that's all you're looking for.
I've got all the confidence in the world in General Clankett.
Clankett, and what was mine again?
Prove it.
General
All right. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, this has been very productive.
This is why I want him down here all
yes,
the time.
Yes, I will be back here on Monday.
I don't get it. Thank you, Mark.
Somehow it is funny, and I don't know why, but it is.
We'll bring in Lawrence Holmes for transition next.
See
on the score.
You guys later.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Oh, you guys like to tell jokes and giggle and kid around, huh?
General Proven. Transition on the score brought to you by Web Chevy. Searching for a great deal on Chevys in Chicago? Visit Web Chevy in Plainfield or Oak Lawn.
I don't want to be Mr. Pink. Hello, Lawrence.
Hello, men. What are you guys doing?
Just killing time, man.
Hard to define.
How are you?
What we're doing?
Have some fudge, baby.
Well, I appreciate the fudge. Thank you very much. I had no idea that Cabela's had fudge.
Yes, I was so delighted to be in Cabela's today on behalf of someone else for a Christmas gift. And it's like you go to Cabela's, the fudge room calls your name. Mm. It's very, very good. I hope you enjoy that pure chocolate, no nuts.
I appreciate that. That would be helpful for me. One of our sponsors, Art of Pizza, strangely enough, great chocolate fudge cake there.
Cool.
So it's right by DePaul's Loop Campus is right by, 7th and State. So occasionally, I wander down there and you go, oh, you've got Eli's cheesecake and
fudge.
Fresh chocolate fudge cake. Along with pizza? Is this heaven?
That's covering a lot of bases right there.
It really, it's one-stop shopping for me, for sure. But thank you for the fudge.
You're
I look
welcome.
Forward to this.
Do you think the Bears are going to beat the Vikings Sunday night?
I've been going back and forth on it, and I think the offensive line for the Vikings is really bad, and it's gotten a little bit better as the season goes on. I think that there's a stat that we probably haven't talked enough about that might be the difference in the game. That over the last four seasons, Kirk Cousins leads the league in fumbles.
He's got eight this year, I think.
Mm-hmm. And I want to say 37 over the last four, 16 lost.
Right.
Yep.
And what does Khalil Mack like to do?
The force fumble.
So maybe that's the
General
difference. I think that with both offensive lines a little bit battered, I'm curious to see which defensive line gets to the quarterback more effectively.
John Gruden said this past week, Khalil Mack got another strip sack fumble.
Yes, he did.
I love how the national pundits are now just dunking on John Gruden every
yes.
chance that they get.
And giving the Bears a ton of love. Everyone can stop saying that. They're getting their props.
They're getting more. I mean, I was watching a video of Reggie Bush just gushing about the Bears offense, and it should be fun. people bring up, well, the Bears haven't beaten anybody. Neither are the Vikings.
That's correct.
The Vikings haven't beaten anyone with over a 500 record.
It's just that the Vikings did it last year, and it's a continuation in a lot of people's minds, right? They got to the NFC Championship game.
But it's different, though. It's a different season. Like, they're trying to still make this thing work. And if their offensive line was as good as it was last year, I give the Bears a fair shot to win this game.
Yeah.
I would probably pick the Vikings if I was forced to pick. But I wouldn't be surprised if the Bears won this game at all.
What I think is so great that there's been like an absence of like cynicism or panic or negativity. Like, even if you're picking the Vikings, I'm not hearing many people say like the Bears are going to lay an egg, like, or the Bears aren't going to show up. And that's happened a lot around here in these big games, national television games and all that. That's just such a restoration of competence, which I know the bar eventually is higher than that, but I think they're going to be able to score. I think their defense will play well at home. I think they're going to win, but it's one of those games where it's the NFL. This is a 55-45 game either way, and whatever way the ball bounces or the big play or the big call, I think it's going to be a close game the whole way.
Hopefully the difference is not Cody Parkey.
Right?
Yeah.
Because that would be bad for him. And you know who else would be bad for? It'd be bad for Ryan Pace, and it would be bad for the Bears as an organization, because people are like, you know, maybe that guy, he's already lost you one game. He's played a role in losing you one game.
Yeah, if he loses back-to-back games, he's done. Even if they don't replace him before the Lions game on Thanksgiving, they'll just go for two against Detroit.
I'm not sure that you shouldn't just go for two. Use what the Steelers were doing a couple years ago.
Agreed.
With the way that your offense plays.
Your 750 plays, mobile quarterback.
It might be a better value, honestly, for them to do it.
If the Vikings can stay committed to challenging the Bears' front seven by running at them and not abandon it immediately if it doesn't work, if they can get 25 carries collectively for Dalvin Cook and Latavius Murray, they'll win the game.
Do you think they'll do it?
I'll do it the way the Seahawks did it last night to the Packers. They had 35 rushes. 31 of them were called rushes.
Kind of a weird thing last night, because I saw a lot of people going, oh, well, the Bears are really rooting for Seattle. Be careful what you wish for, because that can end up being your opponent in the playoffs.
That's absolutely right.
And they're a lot better now than when you played them the first time. And Russell Wilson is a magician, man.
Yeah, awful in the first half, He's but awesome. Very, very good in the second.
And did you fire Mike McCarthy today?
Come on.
Yeah, we had some fun. Yeah. I'm glad you brought it up. We haven't hit it this hour yet. That's the first mention since 4:40 or something.
It's like football Matheny. It's like there's an idiot in charge of your team that's keeping you from competing.
That's why it's sad.
And while he's in charge of the team, the other teams got better.
It's why it's sad. Like, I love being right, but when the Cardinals fired Matheny, it's bad for the Cubs. Now the Bears are finally good and McCarthy's gone. It's just, it's still amazing to me that he quoted the numbers after the game, and the numbers are absolutely against what he did.
It's mind-boggling.
Like, he just was lying. He was making
he
it up
know.
That it was by
You're
the
right.
Cubs.
He did
That's
not
what
know.
I think. I don't think he was lying. I think that he thinks that was what the numbers say.
Yep.
Oh, God. Just
go ahead. Tell him to have another bratwurst.
I don't want
to. Come on. Take it there. That's the only thing you haven't done with Michael Cardin. No,
don't take it there.
I don't need to.
No. His body of work speaks for itself.
You've had
the greatest quarterback who's ever lived. Who's ever lived. And this is what you do.
He's known for his offense, but he actively plays defense against his team's chances of winning. The video's out there on the Scores Twitter feed from when I fired him in transition, if people want to check it out. Lawrence is on until
8:15.
Bulls and Bucks, 8:15 pregame. Shep Tanney, great work as always. Greg Cosell, Olin Krutz, Teddy Greenstein, and Mark Grody were our guests today. He's Dan McNeil. I'm Danny Parkins. That makes us McNeil and Parkins. Lawrence Holmes is coming up next. This is The Score.
All right, guys, I've got a lot of things to do today. Talk to you next week.